بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. We continue reading concerning our aqaid and beliefs. Belief number 36. Previously, belief number 35, we read concerning those the signs which will occur before actual Qiyamah will happen, and when Qiyamah will occur, it will be when Hazrat Israfil alayhi salam will blow the trumpet by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What will happen then was mentioned that all people who are all creation will pass away, and those who have already passed away, they will become unconscious. However, some people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whom He wishes to protect, will remain in a state of consciousness. And then it was mentioned, a period of time will elapse in this way. So continuing with that next belief, then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes, the world will be recreated. So at the time of the blowing of the first trumpet, everything will be destroyed and will split into pieces, the earth, the skies, everything. But then after, how long Allah Ta'ala knows best, but then the world will be recreated. The trumpet will be blown a second time. The whole world will once again come into existence. The dead will be given life, and all will gather on the plains of Qiyamah. Facing difficulties there, the people will proceed to the Anbiya alayhimus salam, requesting them to intercede on their behalf. Finally, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will intercede. All good and evil actions will be weighed. There will be reckoning for these deeds. However, some will enter Jannah without reckoning. The books of deeds will be placed in the right hand of the pious and in the left hand of the evil doers. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will give his ummah water to drink from the pond of Kawthar. This water will be whiter than milk and sweeter than honey. Every person will have to cross the bridge of Sirat, which we call the Pul Sirat. The righteous will cross it and reach Jannah, while the evil doers will fall from it into Jahannam. Last night, alhamdulillah, the 12th para was recited in Taraweeh. The 12th para comprises of Surah Hud. One page of it occurs in the 11th para, and the rest of it in the 12th para, and a portion of Surah Yusuf was also recited, which comes also in this para. Surah Hud is a Makki surat, and as mentioned over and over, the central theme and message in all the Makki surahs concerns the fundamentals of deen, that is Tawheed, Risalat and Akhirat. Mention is also made concerning the truthfulness and the veracity of the Quran and Majeed. Concerning Surah Hud, the central subject matter besides these fundamentals of deen is also the incidents of the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam of the past, and the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeatedly in different ways and in different places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions these incidents, so that the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can be on their guard and not get involved in those things which those ummahs, those nations had become involved in, which invited the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the reasons why these incidents are mentioned. Once Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and seeing that some of the strands of hair from the blessed beard of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are turning white, turning grey, then he remarked that, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are becoming old. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that point replied that Surah Hud has made me old. The surah which we are going to be discussing now, the reasons the ulama explained that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that this surah has made me old, one reason is that in the surah, the mass punishments which the nations of the past were afflicted with, that the severity of it and how those nations were completely destroyed, that is what was concerned for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it mustn't be such that my ummah also if they fall into this type of into the evils of those nations, that some punishment must afflict them. Another reason the ulama explain is that in the surah is contained a verse wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ, that remain steadfast as you have been ordered to do. Steadfastness is such a quality which is to remain steadfast as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered is not an easy task. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was always concerned how must I remain on that level of steadfastness which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes. For that reason Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very concerned, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that this has made me old. Istiqamat means steadfastness. It means complete adherence to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to remain steadfast as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. So since this is not an easy task which cannot be just easily accomplished, so that is why the ulama explained that if a person, he obeys the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is blessed with the tawfiq and with the opportunity to remain steadfast, this is better than thousands of miracles. Fawqa alfi karamati. That is, now it is better than even 1,000 miracles. If someone shows you a lot of miracles, one of our pious predecessors, when one of his murids explained that I've stayed here so long, I haven't seen really anything much, therefore I'm going. So it was explained to him that did you see anything being done here contrary to the laws of Shariat? That no. So this is, what more greater miracle do you want to see? So steadfastness on the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a great accomplishment which a person has to strive for. It's easy to do things for a few days. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is conducive in the sense that we are able to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala much more than the remaining months of the year. But the main thing is that steadfastness on whatever we learn and to carry us through for the rest of the year also. And the third reason why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the surah has made me old, that in the surah the frightful scenes of the day of Qiyamah have also been described in much detail. So for that reason also the ulama explained Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the surah has made me old. In the beginning verses of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the greatness of the Qur'an-i-Majeed. Allah ta'ala says that this kitab, the Qur'an-i-Majeed, is such a kitab, uhkimat ayatuhu, that its verses are consolidated, they are strong and firm. In the explanation of this, the ulama explain that the verses of the Qur'an-i-Majeed are free from any type of defect, from any type of deficiency, from any type of, in the meanings, any type of contradiction, inconsistency, or any type of discrepancy. So in word and in meaning, this Qur'an-i-Majeed, the verses of it are completely firm and consolidated. Besides that, the Qur'an-i-Majeed verses are so strong and firm that no person can ever match the Qur'an-i-Majeed. Further on in the second ruku, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does make mention of that, where the mushrikeen, the enemies of Islam, they accused Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of fabricating the Qur'an-i-Majeed from his own side and attributing it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah also, in the previous surah, Surah Yunus also, and also in Surah Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on these allegations that the Qur'an-i-Majeed is man-authored, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, na'udhu billah, they say had authored the Qur'an-i-Majeed. Allah Ta'ala issues a challenge that if you say this is so, then why don't you produce the like of the Qur'an-i-Majeed? If not the whole Qur'an-i-Majeed, then 10 surahs. And if not 10 surahs, then 1 surah. In this surah, 10 have been mentioned. In the previous surah, 1 surah. If you can't bring the whole Qur'an-i-Majeed, bring 1 surah. To the like of the Qur'an-i-Majeed, in its eloquency, in its beauty, and in its sublime messages, you can never match the Qur'an-i-Majeed. Allah Ta'ala mentions in this surah, فَإِلَّمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا, if they don't respond. Elsewhere Allah Ta'ala mentions that they will not be able to do it, if they did not do it, accept the challenge, nor will they ever be able to accept the challenge till the day of Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentioned in that first verse again, ثُمَّ فُصِّلَتْ مِنْ لَدُنْ حَكِيمٍ خَبِيرٍ. That this Quran Majeed, the verses of them have been elaborated, they have been explained by none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is all wise and all informed. Hakimin Khabir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the condition of all His creation, past, present and future. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the psychology, the weaknesses and the needs of all His creations. And accordingly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us injunctions in the Quran and Majeed to follow. Therefore, every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is within our grasp to make amal on. Allah ta'ala keeping our conditions in mind and changing conditions till the day of Qiyamah. And that in the Quran and Majeed will never become outdated. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is khabir, is all informed of every condition. And accordingly, the verses have been revealed. The main message of the Quran Majeed, Allah ta'budu illallah. That don't worship anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our khaliq, our creator, then jo khaliq hai, wahi ma'bud banne ke la'iq hai. Whoever is the creator, only he is worthy of being worshipped. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that this is the central theme and message, that only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for which you have been created. Allah ta'ala then mentions in the first verse of the 12th para, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. That there is no creature walking on the surface or on the surface of the earth, but the responsibility of its sustenance is upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken this responsibility of risk of all of His creations, whether man, whether animals, insects, fish, or whatever other creation. Therefore, no person will leave this world. No creation will pass away unless he has received his portion of the sustenance which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allocated for him. A person could ask the question that we hear that certain creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mankind as well as animals, sometimes they die through starvation and hunger and thirst. So where is that responsibility which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taken upon himself in this verse? The answer to that is Allah has taken the responsibility of every person's sustenance till an appointed time. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had now decided that this is the portion of sustenance this person will receive and no more, then this will be the outward cause then of his death. Not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that we will never allow somebody to die from starvation, because we see people and we hear people dying from starvation and animals also. But this is not contrary to the message contained in this verse. Thereafter Allah ta'ala mentions the verse that the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are such that Allah ta'ala has made them so that we can ponder and reflect and understand the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the great qudrat and wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then worship Allah ta'ala. And then Allah ta'ala says, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. This is all a test so that Allah ta'ala will see who does the best of actions amongst you. This has been mentioned previously, here also it is here, and elsewhere in the Quran and Majeed also this message is clear, that Allah ta'ala wants to see the quality of our actions. More than quantity, we have to worry about our quality. And the ulama explained that there are two things which are necessary for the perfection of our a'mal. One is ikhlas, sincerity, and one is it must be done according to the command of Sharia, or command of the Quran and Majeed, and the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In the absence of any one of these two, that action will be regarded to be deficient, and perhaps it might be even unacceptable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala then mentions a weakness of man, that if we make man taste from our mercy, our good conditions, and then we snatch it away from him, he becomes despondent and he becomes ungrateful. And then Allah ta'ala mentions, and then when we make him taste of our bounties, after the affliction which he was afflicted with, then he says, ذَهَبَ السَّيِّئَاتُ عَنِّي, that the bad conditions have gone away from me. And the result of that is, he becomes what? إِنَّهُ لَفَرِحٌ فَخُورٌ. He becomes arrogant and he becomes boastful. So this is the weakness of man, that in times of difficulties he turns to Allah ta'ala. But in times of prosperity, then he attributes it many a time to his own expertise and talent, and he becomes haughty and boastful and arrogant. We should be on our guard concerning that. Allah Ta'ala does make an exception, that this is not the condition of all of men. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Besides those who exercise sabr, persevere, and those who do good actions, for them is forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and an immense reward. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's supreme justice and equity is also mentioned. كَمَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا نُوَفِّي إِلَيْهِمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ فِيهَا وَهُمْ فِيهَا لَا يُبْخَسُونَ. That person whose object and desire is the worldly life and its splendor, Allah Ta'ala says, we give to him in full the reward for his good actions in this very world. And he will not be wronged in the least, but Allah Ta'ala won't decrease his reward in the least bit. Which means even the kuffar, those who are the non-believers, that good actions they do, they look after orphans, they look after the widows, they do social work, or whatever else, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also recompense them, but in this world only, not in the hereafter. In the form of good health, in the form of popularity, in the form of Allah Ta'ala will make their, give them a good name, and all these things. So this is the supreme justice and equity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that even the kuffar, for their good deeds, they will be given recompense, but only in this world, nothing in the hereafter. Allah Ta'ala mentions in the very next verse, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَيْسَ لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا النَّارِ. For them there will be nothing in the hereafter besides the fire of Jahannam. Whatever they have did, they will not see the rewards of it in the hereafter. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention of the insolence of many of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam. Allah Ta'ala begins with the insolence of Nuh alayhi salam. Nuh alayhi salam came approximately 1,000 years after Adam alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gave him a lifespan of just over 1,000 years, from which 950 years was to propagate the message of deen. Not that his people and nation also were given so long lives. Nuh alayhi salam was given such a long life, and he preached from generation to generation. But very few people accepted iman on his hands and his message. And a time came when Allah Ta'ala then informed Nuh alayhi salam that now those who have already brought iman, that's it. No new persons will now bring iman. Therefore, then it is at that time that Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam comes later on towards the end of the Quran Majeed in Surah Nuh. Nuh alayhi salam says that if that's the case, then O Allah Ta'ala, from these disbelievers, spare none of them, destroy all of them. Allah Ta'ala then ordered him to build the ark, and the believers were ordered to board the ark. People mocked at him. Here is only dry land. Where are you building a ship? There's no water here. Where is going to sail? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan was that to save the mu'mineen, and the floods came and everybody was destroyed besides those who were on the ark with Nuh alayhi salam. The incident here is mentioned in detail. Thereafter Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the nation of Ad, a very powerful nation who claimed, Man ashaddu minna quwwah, who is stronger than us. But when they were bent on their rebellion and refused to accept the message of Haqq, Allah Ta'ala raised them to the ground. The incident of the nation of Thamud, whose Nabi was Salih alayhi salam, is also mentioned here. Then Ibrahim alayhi salam story, and then Lut alayhi salam, the nation of Lut alayhi salam, who were very lewd and involved in the evil of homosexuality, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then also destroyed them. Then the nation of Shu'aib alayhi salam, how they were also destroyed, besides the evil of kufr and shirk. They were also involved in the evil of cheating in weighing and measuring, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them. All these incidents are mentioned. After mentioning all these incidents, Allah Ta'ala says, وَكَذَٰلِكَ أَخْذُ رَبِّكَ إِذَا أَخَذَ الْقُرَىٰ وَهِيَ ظَالِمًا. And such is the grasp of your Rabb when he seizes towns, in other words, the inhabitants of towns, when they were oppressive, in other words, when they were involved in all these wrongs. Allah Ta'ala says, Inna أَخْذَهُ أَلِيمٌ شَدِيدٌ. Verily the grasp and seizure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is extremely painful. Further on, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the two groups of people. Mankind is only in two groups, either they are shaqi or either they are sa'id. Shaqi, the disbelievers, the unfortunate ones, for whom there will be eternal jahannam. And the sa'id, the fortunate ones, who have been blessed with iman, for them is the everlasting jannah. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards the end of the surah makes mention of a verse فلولا كان من القرون من قبلكم أولو بقية ينهون عن الفساد في الأرض إلا قليلا ممن أنجينا منهم واتبع الذين ظلموا ما أترفوا فيه وما وكانوا مجرمين. This verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the reasons why the nations of the previous times were afflicted with mass punishment. For two reasons are mentioned here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that why was it not that in the nations of the people of before, why were they not people who were of understanding and who had remnants of wisdom in that? That why did they not stop the people from the evil being perpetrated on the surface of the earth? Why was it not that? So which means one reason is when the people no more do the work of Nahi Anil Munkar, particularly where evil is perpetrated, people who have the knowledge and understanding and wisdom, they don't fulfill that responsibility. So this is one reason for mass punishment to afflict the nation. The second one is وَاتَّبَعَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مَا أُتْرِفُوا فِيهِ وَكَانُوا مُجْرِمِينَ. And those who are the oppressive ones, that is the wrongdoers, they pursued those things, those luxuries with which they were blessed with, and they were the wrongdoers. In other words, when luxury and comfort becomes an obsession, and people become involved in it to such an extent that they completely forget their obligations of deen, this is also one of the causes why mass punishment then afflicts a nation. So these are the two reasons mentioned here. Further on, Allah Ta'ala does mention, وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ لِيُهُلِكَ الْقُرَى بِظُلْمٍ. What need is there for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to destroy the nations who are oppressive? وَأَهْلُهَا مُسْلِحُونَ. Whereas the inhabitants of there were muslihun, were making, doing the work of Islah, were doing the work of reformation, trying to now get things right. So when there is reformation taking place, where there is an effort being made that people must now reform their ways, and people ask, some will accept, some won't, but there is that effort taking place, then there is no need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then to destroy that nation. So as long as this is continuing, then the mass punishment will not come. But once this work stops, and people get involved in their luxury and comfort, this invites the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next surah is Surah Yusuf. Surah Yusuf is also a Makki surah. The incident of Yusuf alayhi salam is mentioned in detail and in sequence of occurrence here from beginning till end. Nowhere else in the entire Quran and Majid is the incident of Yusuf alayhi salam mentioned. The name of Yusuf alayhi salam, together with the names of the other Anbiya, is mentioned elsewhere in the Quran and Majid. But the incident is only mentioned here in Surah Yusuf. Concerning Surah Yusuf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself mentions in the beginning that this incident is Ahsan al-Qasas. It is one of the most beautiful of incidents. There is great lessons to be taken out from the entire incident, and it is a very captivating and interesting incident which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself mentioned that it is Ahsan al-Qasas. The Jews who wanted to test Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whether he is a true Nabi or not, many questions they posed, the Ahle Kitab, the Jews, and one of them was also this, that tell us the reason why Yaqub alayhi salam, who was the father of Yusuf alayhi salam, him and his family, they left their homeland of Sham and they came to Egypt. What was the circumstances for their coming into Egypt? They wanted to test Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. On that, this entire surah was revealed, and with such detail and accuracy, which clearly made manifest the truthfulness of the nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so this incident which is mentioned here, it is mentioned with great detail and, as I mentioned, in sequence of occurrence. The incidents of the other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they have been mentioned bit and portions according to the need of the and the lesson to be taken out or the morals to be taken out. Allah Ta'ala mentioned them in different places in the Quran and Majid. Nowhere is the incident of a nation mentioned in such detail as the incident of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is mentioned here. The reason is that the Quran and Majid is not a historical book. It's not a book just to record facts of history. That is why the nations of the past, even those incidents which are mentioned in a bit of detail. There also we see that it is not mentioned in sequence of occurrence. Some certain incidents happen later, they are mentioned first. And that which happened before is sometimes mentioned later on. But this is not the case with the incident of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Very briefly what happened was that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam had seen a dream. He was still a young boy at that time, that 11 stars, the sun and the moon are falling in prostration in front of him. He was still a young boy, and he told his father, Yaqub alayhi salam, about the dream. Yaqub alayhi salam was a Nabi, and immediately realized that this dream is the interpretation of it, which will come later on in the next para, that it is a very, very beautiful dream, and there is great basharat and glad tidings in here. But he told Yusuf alayhi salam, don't mention this dream to your brothers, because they will become jealous over you, and with the result that they might harm you. And this is exactly what happened then, that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, being a young boy and very, very handsome also, Yaqub alayhi salam had a great liking for him, and the qualities of Nabuwat were also there. Yaqub alayhi salam perhaps realized that also. That's why he had extra love for Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. But eventually the brothers, they could not see this, and they became jealous, and they conspired to get rid of Yusuf alayhi salam. They took him under the pretext of going to graze the animals with him, and they wanted to take him out. Yaqub alayhi salam was reluctant, but eventually they said that they will look after him, and they took him with, and they had initially decided to kill Yusuf alayhi salam, but after much deliberation, they threw him into a well, thinking that he will just perish on his own there, and we won't have to actually kill him. A group of travelers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that they were traveling, they wanted water, and instead of water coming out in the bucket which they had lowered, Yusuf alayhi salam came out. They thought that let's keep him as a slave, and they were en route to Egypt, Misr, and there they sold him as a slave. The chief minister of Egypt purchased him and brought him to his house. The wife of the chief minister became infatuated with Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam and made advances, but Yusuf alayhi salam was protected and refused to accede to the charms of the wife of the chief minister. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how Allah ta'ala protected Yusuf alayhi salam, the details are mentioned here, very interesting, but we don't have time to go into details. Then eventually he was imprisoned to save the name of the chief minister himself and his wife. He was put for no reason into prison. For a lengthy period of time, he languished in prison. Because of his upright and righteous personality, he won the confidence of the inmates of the prison. And he propagated the message of Tawheed, as mentioned here, to the people of the prison also. And Allah Ta'ala granted him the expertise to interpret dreams correctly. And two inmates, they seen dreams, and Yusuf alayhi salam interpreted their dream correctly. One was put to death because of some crime he committed, and the other one was freed, became the cupbearer of the king. Then the king himself sees a dream, a very strange dream. The ministers themselves were baffled, they couldn't give any interpretation, but this cupbearer remembered when he was in jail that Yusuf alayhi salam is there, he's an expert in this field. And Yusuf alayhi salam was called out of prison to give the interpretation of the dream to the king. Yusuf alayhi salam refused to initially come out till his name had been cleared and he had been absolved of all blame which was put onto him. And after that, Yusuf alayhi salam came out and gave the interpretation of the dream to the king. This is still where the para ends, and after that what is mentioned, it comes into the next para. We will discuss it tomorrow, inshallah.